Right now, we are very honored to have in our studios Mayor.
The Honorable Mayor Anise Parker. Good morning, Mayor, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live again.
Glad to be with you again. Always happy to be here.
Yeah, boy, it was big news. I mean, we saw you on TV last week. That was very interesting on MSNBC. But I guess the big news is that you've announced that you're going to be seeking a third time as mayor in November.
I don't know if that's big news or not, but it's important to me. I am halfway through my maximum possible time as mayor, which would be 6 years. So I'm just partway through my fourth year. And yes, I will be running for re-election as mayor of Houston. Well,
on your website, you have a note that we're leading, speaking of Houston, we're leading the nation in job creation. We're America's coolest city, according to Forbes magazine, and the seventh best place in the world to visit in 2013, according to the New York Times. Wow. And we're the number one city in America to further a career, according to Monster.com. And you said those are just a few of the...
If you do just a cursory internet search, you'll see the city of Houston popping up over and over again on every list of superlatives out. The best place to start a career, number one destination for relocation professionals, on and on and on and on. I'll take some credit for that, but more it is the entrepreneurial spirit of Houston and the fact that our economy's humming right now.
So that's, would you say that's what makes us one of the coolest cities?
You know, I love the coolest city accolade. It's cool to have jobs and a good economy, but it's more about the fact that we're such an international city, we're such an art city, we're a foodie city, that we're a destination now in a way that we never have been before.
Yeah, according to, I don't know who did the study, but according to the Houston Chronicle, where I read it last week, we're the number one growth area, Harris County, Houston, in the country, L.A. being number two. Why is that so, according to your, based on your views?
Well, one is the job creation that's going on here. If you look at the big sectors of the Houston economy, number one is oil and gas and energy. Mm-hmm. Two is the Texas Medical Center, the Port of Houston, then there's NASA and aerospace, and then finally manufacturing. Oil and energy is hot right now. The whole issue of fracking, the Eagle Ford Shale, that's helping drive our economy. Even in the depths of the recession, Texas Medical Center is the largest medical complex in the world. It tends to be recession proof. Mm-hmm. People want the services, medical services, and they're willing to pay for them. And then the Port of Houston, while it slowed during the downturn, is beginning to pick up. And on the horizon, we have the opening of the new channel at the Panama Canal, which should drive more growth. Mm. People are beginning to anticipate that. And then finally, we have one of the lowest tax burdens of any big city in America. Your dollar goes farther in Houston than anywhere else. And that is tending to attract businesses in East Coast, West Coast, that are looking for places with good access and a cheaper place to operate.
Our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. We'll welcome your phone calls to talk with Mayor Anise Parker on Sunday Morning Live. It's 6 minutes past 9 o'clock. Now, obviously, I mean, we're doing pretty great as far as jobs and the economy, and you balanced a couple of budgets since you've been in town. And I guess that's one story that struck me yesterday. The air traffic controllers are going to be pulled out of 149 cities or airports, small airports around the state of Texas, two in the Houston area, including Sugar Land. And this was said to be as a result of the sequester. How has the sequester, how will it impact the city of Houston once it takes place?
That is a really great question. The cities that are going to be hit worst and hardest are those with large federal installations. We don't have that. Okay. But one thing that we do have is a very large airport system. Mm. So the largest presence we have for the federal government, NASA, and at our airports. at the airports, it's TSA, Customs and Border Patrol, and the air traffic controllers. When they cut back, they're clearly not going to start with the big airports. They are cutting back air traffic control time at the smaller or outlying general aviation airports, not the big commercial airports. But it could very well mean longer lines going through security and a lot longer lines for those coming in, inbound passengers from overseas going through Customs and Border Patrol. That will eventually also work its way to the Houston Ship Channel, big driver for our economy, the port, because those ships coming in are also have to go through Customs. People say, oh, well, the sequester came and the world didn't come to an end. The full sequester hasn't come yet. It actually comes at the beginning of April. And anything that the federal government does to slow our economic growth is wrong and problematic.
And, of course, the world won't come to an end even if when it does hit full-fledged, but it will have an impact on folks' pocketbook because someone has to pay for the services that will be lost from those federal dollars. So folks, get ready for that. Let's see here. We have calls already? Okay, let's go to line two. Okay, the ABM. What's happening? ABM, you're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102 with Mayor Anise Parker.
Good morning, Mayor. This is Texas Mike. How are you doing this morning, Mayor?
Just fine. Good morning.
Mayor, look, you know as well as I do how much money revenue having the NFL Super Bowl bring in our great city would bring. But we're not going to get it, Mayor, unless that eyesore is blown up. Are you in favor or against the blowing up the historical eighth wonder of the world? Listen up here.
Okay. I have nothing to do with that. I have a personal opinion, but that decision is going to be made by five men only, county commissioners and the county judge. The Astrodome complex is wholly owned by Harris County. I think it's a shame that they can't find something to put in there, a hotel complex, something in that facility. And I think it's a real shame that they allowed it to deteriorate, demolition by neglect. Now they have created a problem for themselves that they're going to have to deal with. It's not going to be up to me to decide.
Yeah, they do need to do something. In fact, they said it would be cheaper to tear it down.
Well, certainly it'll be cheaper to tear it down, but it's still going to be tens of millions of dollars if they tear it down. That is a big structure. It has to be taken down carefully so it doesn't damage the facilities around it. And I grew up with the dome. It is an iconic image of the city of Houston, and the fact that they just let it crumble away and now they have a problem on their hands is a shame. And
someone suggested maybe making it even a parking garage.
It seems to me strange that they can't do something, secure the outside superstructure and put something inside. I think there have been some really interesting concepts of a huge indoor hotel. Think Astro and entertainment complex. Think Astro World indoors. The problem is that a lot of those ideas were floated just before the economy tanked. And they all went away, and I don't know that we've completely recovered enough for those kinds of big visionary ideas to come forward.
Yeah. Let's go to line one. Margaret, you're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1 with Mayor Anise Parker. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Parker. I wanted to ask you a question. I retired from the city in 2008. And I am not 60 years old. I'm in my 50s.
Wow, that's amazing.
And my insurance, I'm not going to be able to afford my insurance.
Well, at 50, I guess.
Is that your question?
My question is why? My question is why are the retirees and the people that are not 62, they're sort of between there,
We have, if you're over 62, you qualify for Medicare, and if you're still active employees, you have one rate. What we did is that we looked at what the true cost of providing insurance for all of our sectors employees, retirees under 65, and retirees over 65, and the highest cost is you guys who retired and are still active and are out there doing things. And what we decided to do is that you pay 25% of the cost of the insurance. We pay 75%, but we charge you what your actual premium is. And in the past, active employees had subsidized retirees under 65. And frankly, I appreciate that you worked really hard for the city of Houston and have retired, and I hope that, that you have a good retirement.
Yeah.
But it, to me, was not appropriate for active retirees to subsidize the insurance costs. We're constantly looking for ways to bring down the insurance costs of the city of Houston. We spend more than $300 million a year on insurance for our actives and retirees and their dependents.
Wow. Margaret, thank you for your call. At 50 years old, boy, she's going to have a lot of nice long retirement, a lot of traveling and everything. Boy, 50.
Well, seeing that, but that's it, the... Actually, what happens is a lot of people, if they retire young, then they get their health care taken care of, things they may have put off a little while. So they get all fixed up, and then they go out and they have really active lifestyles, and that causes another round of possible call on our insurance.
Yeah, they can get another job and make some money, and oh boy, this can be, hopefully that's another story. But you know, it's speaking of health, you know, today is World Tuberculosis Day, and you know, we used to think that TB was a thing of the past, and with Houston being such a diverse city, we got people coming from all over the world.
Well, an international city, that people come from to Houston from places where diseases that we have forgotten about are still active.
Yeah.
You know, polio is still not completely
Which is amazing.
Eradicated.
So, I mean, so that makes us, does that make us at risk? And if it does, what is the city's health department doing to, you know, reduce the risk?
It does put us at risk for a number of different diseases. And interestingly, there's a new tropical disease center at the Texas Medical Center now, because not only can you go overseas to study these diseases, but there are some significant populations of people who have diseases that are not normally found in the United States. And it was a good place to locate there. For those diseases that are communicable, the health department has aggressive programs to try to identify populations. Mm-hmm. For things like TB, which is a growing problem in the sense that, again, people come with TB, not that they get it here.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that has to be tracked long term, and the medicine for it is curable, but you have to stay with the protocol. And so we work with other we work with Harris County and the state, and seek to identify those with these diseases and make sure that they are treated effectively.
Okay. Let's go to line two. Michelle, you're on Sunday Morning Live with Mayor Anise Parker. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. I heard you was talking about the Astrodome. I agree with you. That's a nice building, and I hate they did let it deteriorate like that. But I think we can do something. We have too much going on in Houston where they can't do a fundraiser or whatever to help the young or the senior citizens.
They can turn it to a disco.
But don't tear it down. They done took Astroworld away. Let us keep something that's been there. Where the young people back in the 60s and 70s.
You mentioned Astroworld. The loss of Astroworld was a loss for the city. Astroworld was the single biggest provider of entry-level jobs for young Houstonians. A lot of Houstonians got their first start out at Astroworld. Yeah. So it wasn't just about having a fun place to go. It was about it was a job generator, but we have worked to try to find another entity who wants to do something like that. But again, you know, we're just coming out of a very deep recession, and it's been hard to jumpstart that kind of private sector investment.
Michelle, thank you so much for your call this morning.
I understand. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's just amazing. So the time goes so rapidly. But the fact that you are seeking your third and final term as mayor, I guess as you reflect, what would you say are your major accomplishments thus far as mayor of the city of Houston?
First, it's navigating the city through a very, very difficult economy with a focus on jobs and sustainable development. The fact that Houston didn't go as deeply into the recession as the rest of the United States, and we're the first out, and we are the job creation capital of America, something that I'm very, very proud of. In addition to that, I have focused on making sure that we invest back in the built environment of Houston. We have to, if you have a house, you have to keep, you have to do the maintenance. You have to work on the foundation and the roof. And we've been working on Houston's foundation and roof and streets and drainage and water and sewer pipes. And then finally, I created the Department of Neighborhoods in the city. We say that neighborhoods are critically important to us, but if you looked at the city budget, you wouldn't see anything that refers to neighborhoods prior to now. And so I took all the little pieces that work in neighborhoods and put them together, and they're going gangbusters out in the community. We created, through Department of Neighborhoods, we created Demolition Day, where we go in every year and tear down abandoned homes in neighborhoods. We created a team to target the worst of the worst abandoned apartment complexes across the city, and we've taken down the dirt, what we call the dirty half dozen, where just like a cancer in the neighborhood. We have teams that actually we're what we call Make Safe Saturday, where we spread across the city and we just target neighborhoods. We work with volunteers where we board up vacant homes that aren't ready to be torn down, but they need to be secured, and haul away heavy trash and just do the things that cities need to do, and that if people were good neighbors and doing what they're supposed to do, wouldn't happen. And so I'm really, really proud of the focus we have on neighborhoods right now. And it is not just the city going in and doing things, it's we're working with community.
And going forward, let's assume you are reelected. What would be your goals for your final term?
Some of it is institutionalizing what's already begun, but we ask the citizens of Houston to help us invest more in the quality of life of the city of Houston. And so we had a bond election last November, and I want to thank everybody who participated in that. We're going to be refurbishing libraries. We're going to be putting hike and bike trails in across the city of Houston, which will expand access to parks for our citizens. We're really going to be putting a lot of money into buildings across the city of Houston that the citizens use every day, community centers, libraries, building new police stations in out in South Houston, different things like that.
Yeah, and you know, this time is just going so fast, but I'm sure we're going to have you back again before November. But a recent poll by Rice University political scientist shows that 57% of the voters approve of your job performance so far, and about 30% disapprove. How does that make you feel?
I'm glad that so many voters approve about what's wrong with those other 30%. One of the things, the hardest things for any public official to understand is that it's the 20% rule. 20% of the people will hate you no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, no matter what you do. And then my job as the leader of the city of Houston is to make sure the city functions, but is also to try to look down the road and move the city in a way it needs to go, whether or not everybody else understands yet that it needs to go. So my job is not to be popular. My job is to get the job done. But I am very, very grateful that Houstonians have responded well. And let me say, I interact with Houstonians more than, frankly, my three predecessor mayors combined. I do regular web chats. I do teletown halls. I do 3 minutes with the mayor all on a quarterly basis, where we just 3 minutes with the mayor, where I go into a library or a grocery store and I'm there for several hours, and just anybody walks up, wants to talk to me, they can. I respond to emails into the mayor's office. I do my best to, and I appear on radio shows like this, Dr. Smith, and take calls, because I want to know what people are thinking and what they care about, and I want them to know what I care about.
All right. Well, Mayor Anise Parker, we do appreciate you being here today. The Houston elections are coming up in November, and this year it seems that Your Honor will have a serious opponent, I'm told, Benjamin Hall III. He served as city attorney under Mayor Bob Lanier.
I always have opponents. I had five opponents last time.
Well, I know, but I mean, this guy, they say, hey, this guy is strong, and we're going to have him on April 7th to see just what he has to say and how confident he is that he's going to dethrone you. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for being here again. It's 9:22, 22 past 9.